My guests tonight, three people who have been deeply involved in football in West Kerry and in camp and in many, many more places. Eugene Dean is with us. Eugene, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
That's Padraig Murphy. Padraig, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
And Dr. Sean Murphy. Sean, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Ishi.
Nice to have you, Ian. Nice to have you. I met yourself and Padraig at the book launch last night. You enjoyed the night?
Correct. Beautiful evening. Great entertainment, and met an awful lot of people that I hadn't met for years.
Yeah. It was like a gathering, really, of Kerry greats, wasn't it? It was. Yeah. Had your chance to read the book, Sean, by the way?
I did. Yeah. I did.
Well, what do you think of it?
I think it's a beautiful, lovely presentation of the subject, Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Comprehensive, readable, all in all, an excellent production.
Lovely. Padraig, you had a chance, did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes, I read several chapters and I really enjoyed it.
Lovely. Did you pick anything out of it specially?
Well, I read the Sean Murphy story, for one thing, and lovely, I read Tiggy Lane.
Yeah.
And I read several other chapters.
Yeah.
By the way, I'll remind you that I was at the opening of the Fitzgerald Stadium way back in 1930. Six.
That's right.
Is that when it
That's
opened?
36.
I was only five and a half years of age,
yes.
But I remember it very well.
Yes, yeah. Loved, good
very
stuff.
Well.
Good stuff. You had a great night anyway, and thank you for coming. It was very most enjoyable. Huge, you're a campman yourself.
Oh, I am, yeah.
You brought out a lovely history there in 1953, the GA, the story of camp football.
That's right, yes.
It's a fabulous production.
Thank
are they still available to buy, by the way?
I don't...
Are they still available to buy?
Oh, they are, yes, oh, yes.
If a person wanted to buy the story of camp football now, who'd they contact?
Oh, send them back to the wire shop.
To who, the wire shop?
In camp, yeah, the supermarket.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And, of course, the Murphys really played a huge part. Didn't they?
Oh God, they did. The Murphys were a big part of camp football.
How many of the brothers were there? Tell us.
There were four.
Yeah.
Four. Two of them played with camp. Sean.
Yeah.
Padraig, Tomás. Seamus was a bit young, like at that time, to be for the camp senior team.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, he won All Ireland's like the rest of the Murphys.
He did indeed. Yeah. Padraig, how many of the family won All Ireland's?
All four.
Tell us what they won.
Sean won three All-Irelands.
Yes.
Seamus won four All-Irelands.
Yeah.
And I have a junior All-Ireland, and Tomás has a minor All-Ireland.
That's a great record.
And each of the four of us won the Munster senior colleges.
Yeah.
In different years, mostly 1949 for Sean and myself, and maybe 52 for Tomás, yeah, another brother, and Seamus a little later, maybe 54.
Yeah. Football was a very important part of the family, wasn't it?
Oh,
who did you get it from? Who had it in the family?
Well, now, seeing that you asked me that question, I gave it a bit of thought. My father, Jackie Murphy, from Ballydavid or Ballinamowl, came to camp national school in the 20s, and he married his assistant, my mother, in 1928. Love at first sight, I hear. And he bought a fine site in camp, all of 6 acres, and that field contained a very historic stone building. It was the old RIC barrack, which was in ruins at the time. And the stones of that barrack were used to build our residence way back in 1930.
Yeah.
So it has a bit of history. And there was enough land to keep a few cows, which a lot of teachers did at the time. And we had plenty room to play about the house at the back and the front. There was plenty area. And we had enough land, I mean, to keep us happy and busy, because you know, where you have a few cows and later on a pony, it was like a mini farm.
It was indeed, yeah.
But that stood to us later on. Gave us stamina and strength, and we were, it made hardy boys out of us.
Sean, how important was camp in your career? How important was camp football in your career?
Camp is very important in my career. It was imbued the spirit of the Gaelic Athletic Association that Eugene Dean just told me went right back to the 1890s. It was part and parcel of the fabric, the social fabric of the townland. Produced a lot of footballers of note prior to our coming on the scene. You had Tim O'Donnell, Charlie O'Sullivan, the O'Driscolls. You had many, many Kerry juniors and minors in camp, the Duns and John Dunn and Michael Driscoll, who was a Kerry goalkeeper. Even my uncle John Dean at one stage on my mother's side was selected, but I don't think he ever played in the Kerry juniors in the 20s and early 30s. So that it was part of the fabric of the community, Gaelic football.
Had you a strong team at that particular time?
We had a very, very strong team. In 1928, they actually won the West Kerry Senior League, which was a marvellous achievement for a townland the size of Camp, which about population about 200. They beat Lisbol, a Dingle team, a Tralee team. As a matter of fact, they beat everything thrown at them in 1928.
Would you put your football career, your football greatness back to where you were, where it all began in Camp?
Oh, I would. I would. The school was a focal point of football, GA football in Camp. We had a football field which wasn't by any means of any great size, but the school children, under the supervision of my father Jackie Murphy, played there every opportunity they had, and I think the foundations of the footballers who latterly in my era and later, the Doyles, Tommy Doyle and Dennis Shea, just to name a few, they started and they played the football, which was typical Kerry football, I think.
Yes, yeah.
It was a catch and kick type of football.
Yes, yeah,
traditional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think they stood Kerry well over the years.
Yeah. Huge. How important were the Murphy family to Kerry outside of Camp? How important they gave tremendous.
They gave mighty service to Kerry football.
Yeah,
they did. Sean with 3 senior All Irelands and Seamus with 4 senior All Irelands. So that's the mightiest step for any family.
It is indeed. Yes. Yeah,
they were part and parcel, and sure, Sean had some outstanding games with Kerry. And here, right, one of the best halfbacks of all time.
While Sean is recognised as what you said there, one of the best halfbacks, I played with Seamus myself, Lartimus, in him, and played against him. Was Seamus Murphy, has he been underrated by Kerry football historians?
He might have been underrated, all right, but the first thing about Seamus, whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, it made no difference what position they put him in. He played well there and was well able to play there.
He was centre field and centre back and wing back.
He was an outstanding cornerback.
Yes, he was.
I remember in one All Ireland, and he was playing, and it was Kerry and Meath.
1978?
Yeah, he was playing in some very good Meath footballer. The most of the times he blocked him down. The man tried to kick the ball and Seamus came down on top of it and blocked it down. Seamus was an all-round.
And he played midfield with Micheál Conlon in many games.
In the
finals and All-Ireland semi-finals. Padraig, Tommy, what about? Talk us about the fourth brother who most people don't know about.
I know. You see, the thing is that Tomás went to Ballyvourney or Cláiste Iascán in Ballyvourney and gave 4 years there, and he won quite a few trophies there as well as the Munster College's senior. But then he went to UCC and he won a few Sigerson's there, I think two, if I have my memory right. And then he qualified and he had to emigrate.
Yeah,
he went out to the Middle East for a while following the oil.
Yeah. And
as an engineer, he qualified as an engineer, but then he came back to England and gave more or less the best of his days in England. But he played with the famous Camp teams that Eugene will tell you about, the three in a row. I'll leave that to Eugene in a moment. The only thing I'll add at the moment is Yuji has said that the camp football went back to the 1890. I can go back 2 years further than that by reading you a local poem written by a poet who lived near Brandon in a place called Listnacailwee.
Listnacailwee, do you know what we'll do now? When we come back after the news, you get your poem ready.
I'll only read a small bit.
When we come back, we'll be coming back very shortly. We'll be going for a break in 2 minutes. Sean, when was your first outing with a Kerry team of any description?
My first outing was in 1949 against Clare in Ennis as a minor. I was 17 years old then.
That was a bad day for the Kerry Seniors.
And interestingly, some of the Kerry team didn't turn up. They had a problem with one of their cars from Dublin, and you had Bat Garvey and...
the lines of cleaning didn't turn up.
They didn't turn up. We won the minor match, and on my way off the field, John Joshi came along and said to me, look, we're short of players and subs, so we'd like you to stay on as a sub for the Kerry team. So I said yes, even though I was only 17 years old. I sat in the sideline for half an hour as a sub for the Kerry senior team on my first day out as a minor.
What are your memories of the senior match that day that Kerry were beaten in?
My memory of the senior match is of bewilderment. For the simple reason is that Clare had footballers. There was a chap called PJ O'D who played for Munster. And to see him dominating a game in which Kerry were playing in the first round of the Munster Championship, and to see the way Clare penetrated a Kerry defence which was without quite a few of the players. I can't remember all these footballers, but it was Kerry looked completely demoralised from the throw-in.
Have you any memories of the Kerry dressing room after that defeat to Clare?
The Kerry dressing room as such didn't exist. We walked back to a hotel in Ennis. And I can remember dressing in, I think it's some isolated bedroom, some part of the hotel, with Dinny Falvey, who played midfield for me that day, with me that day. But a Kerry dressing room as such did not exist. But they were terribly... there was a depression all over the place. I'll always remember... after the game was over, Clare went absolutely berserk. They were celebrating.
Padraig, we're saying we're 49 a minute. You can come in if you want to hear. In 49, Sean won an All-Ireland junior medal.
He did?
Did he win a junior before he won a minor?
That is quite correct.
Now, is there any other player has done that? To win a junior before a minor?
I don't think so.
Is there, Padraig?
I don't think so. I haven't heard of it.
Because in that junior team that won the All-Ireland that particular year, he beat Down in the final, isn't that right?
That's right, Down.
And you were playing a wing forward.
We beat Lancashire in the final. We beat Down in the home final.
And that Kerry team was, Liam Fitzgerald was in goal.
Yes.
Yep. Correct me if I'm wrong now. Who was, Dermot Dillon was cornerback.
Yes.
Tyke Flynn was fullback. And Dee Dowling, who was the Dee Dowling?
Blackie Dowling from?
Eddie Dowling's brother.
Well, you don't know who it's,
sir. Not Kerry, anyhow.
You can come in and out here, Les, whenever you want to know. There was an M. Lynch centre...
Lynch from Boherbea.
Paddy Bat Shanahan from Corra, the great Paddy Bat.
Very good footballer.
Great footballer, went to St. Amora Gales. He's flying at the moment. He's in great form.
Good.
And M. McGilligott, left half-back.
It was Artfert.
What's it?
Artfert.
Dermot Hannafin was centre field with Sean.
That's right.
Sean, what age were you?
17.
You won a junior All-Ireland 17. Amazing stuff. You were a wing forward. P. McCarthy was centre forward.
Phil McCarthy from Artfert.
And S. Cooper, he was my Legion teammate.
He was
John C. Cooper.
John C.
A dapper little forward.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful footballer. Yeah.
Like Iggy Jones.
He's related to Johnny Cullity. Like Iggy Jones, you summed him up perfectly.
Oh, yes, he's like Iggy Jones.
Tom Long was right corner forward. What Tom Long? Not the great Tom Long that was at the Bud Clanch last night.
No.
Dingle from the Dingle Town.
The pub
in Dingle.
Yeah.
And a hackney car.
Is that right?
He used to drive us to the matches.
Yeah. Mixie Palmer was full forward.
Yes.
You met Mixie at the book launch last Tuesday night.
I did.
You did indeed. Mixie, how you doing, my friend? You enjoyed the night, I know that.
Did.
And there was a Jay Kennedy corner forward.
Fox Kennedy.
James Fox Kennedy. Now, there was an S. Dowling, a sub.
I think that was John Dowling.
Was it John Dowling? I think
could have been.
Teddy Hennessy, the hurler, was a sub. Jay Flaherty. That was a sub.
Jimmy Flaherty.
The hurler?
Would he be Jimmy?
Probably. S. Leahy and S. O'Connor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was the team. That's the programme from. And partly, I'm.
He was Sean Connor from Cashlale and Spillane's cousin.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
He was.
I'm returning that programme to you as you have given it to me.
I have it since 1949.
Pardrick, what's that poem you were going to read out a couple of verses for us?
Well, I there are 20 verses, but I have no notion of reading the 20.
No, I don't think our listeners stay with us for 20. Write out two anyway.
Now, Listener Kyle Wee was a part of Brandon. It was a village in Brandon. Now, Brandon is nearly 20 miles west of Tralee, and camp is about halfway west. So when you hear of the boys from the east, those would be the boys from camp.
Right.
And it was written by a poet from Listener Kyle Wee. I'll sing to the kickers of Listener Kyle Wee. I'm sure you would travel their equals to see. In wrestling or goaling or taking a spree, there was no match to be found for the boys of Listener Kyle Wee. On the 4th day of March in the year 88, now that's 1888, those eastern buckos, that would be the camp boys, those eastern buckos thought us for to bait. But the moment those bog trotters entered the field, they shook in their boots before Listener Kyle Wee. Now, that goes on.
Yeah, who wrote this, so do we know?
Now, the local poet, you know, the rhymers.
Sean, you wanted to say something there?
There's an interesting verse there at some stage, pausing. One more.
I'll only give you two lines of the last verse
Give us the whole lot of it.
Well, to put camp in the picture.
Give us the whole lot.
There was a blacksmith from camp there. They called him Tom Crean.
Yeah?
Aha. Like cattle, he wanted to make a cat of two tails. I suppose that's Lewis Cattle.
Yeah.
Before half time was over, he had to retreat and get sticking plaster to screw on his teeth. So those were the games for you.
Sean, you were getting a great laugh out of that.
Yes, I am. I am. Indeed. It reminds me of the old facts, as far as I can see.
Come here. After 49, you won your junior then in 49. How did the Miners do in 49, by the way?
We were beaten in the final by Armagh.
By
1 point.
So you could have won a Minor. You could have won a Minor in junior.
I could.
So you played in two All-Ireland finals in 1 year.
I did.
And then when did you make your first foray into the Kerry scene of football?
I made my first foray in 1949. Kerry were playing that famous Antrim team at that played Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final in 1946, which had Kevin Armstrong and Harry O'Neill. We were playing for a suit length of clothes in Croke Park, and I was playing right half forward.
What year was that?
1949.
Oh, so you were still a minor?
I was still a minor.
So you played minor, junior and senior the same year?
I did. I was chosen to play for Kerry in the National League down in Portlaoise, but I was in St. Patrick's Training College in Drumcondra, and the Vincentian fathers would not allow me to play for Kerry that day.
Yeah.
In 1950, Kerry were playing against 1951 was my next foray. I was still a minor in 1950. In 1951, I was chosen a central forward for Kerry against the Cavan team in the National League final. And John Joe Riley who died before that match was played, was centre half back on that team.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a play against John Joe. He died in the meantime. So that was long before I played on the official Kerry team. It was in 1952. I was chosen to play against Mayo in 1952. Mayo beat us in the All-Ireland semi-final. We trained out in Ballyhaig under Roundy Landers.
Yeah, Roundy was a trainer.
He was a trainer then. He was indeed. Yeah. I've seen quite a few trainers in my time.
Do you know what you might be thinking about now in your own mind about the trainers that did train? A very interesting point. Yes. Paddy, you wanted to say something there.
Well, I just wanted to remind you and Sean that 49 was a very important year in our life. Right. Because in 49, we won Ballyvourney, Clashed Isagon, won the Munster Colleges Cup for the first time ever for the new college.
And who did both of you playing?
Well, I was the captain, actually, and Sean was playing midfield. I played in the half forwards. And 1949 was also another year, a great year, because we played with Macroom illegally in the Cork Minor Championship, and we won that.
You won the Cork Minor Championship?
Yes.
Have you a Cork Minor County Championship?
I have, 1949.
So 49 now, you played in an All-Ireland Minor Final, you won an All-Ireland Junior, you won a Munster Cup, and you won a Cork Minor County Championship.
And the most significant game of all was winning the East Kerry Senior League with Glen Bear.
With Glenn Fless. Illegal also.
Yeah, so did I. The two of us and some other boys.
What name did you play under?
Oh, Murphy's.
Well, did you?
Eddie Connor was playing for the Crokes that day.
That was the East Kerry League. You beat the Crokes in the final.
We beat the Crokes.
We're going to get the whole Kerry and every place suspended the way we're going at the moment. But they're great stories. Huge, great stories, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Sean's record in 49, I suppose, is unequal. It's unequal, is it? His record in 49. Yeah. Paddy, you played senior yourself, of course.
Oh, I did, yes. I played National League especially.
Yeah.
Played all over the country.
Against Cork.
Played against Cork and played against Clare in Middletown Malbay.
Yeah.
Played against Mayo in Ballina.
Yeah.
And many other places. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I belonged to the contingent in Dublin.
Right, yeah.
Sean was there and Jackie Lane and Mixie Palmer. They were all in Dublin at the time.
Well, there's a great story. The Murphys are well covered in Dr. Raymond's book, Sean, aren't they?
Yes. Dr. Raymond Sullivan, my book,
A Man Before His Time.
Very well covered.
You gave me a fabulous interview about him. And Matt Lean, he here in Tralee, I must thank Matt for the great help he gave me in assembling the Murphy's history. Now, Matt Lean is a very special Tralee man because he has put together a history of all the gay Kerry footballing brothers. Now, it took him a long time to do it. Now, I'm on to Matt. He should get it published. He should get all the brothers down. And Matt, you should go away and you should get those put into print, all the footballing brothers and the great families of this county. Matt Lean of Tralee, thank you for the help you gave me, my friend, and the great work you did on the Murphy brothers. That's Matt Lean of Tralee there. Like you, Owen, it's very important to get this down in print. Oh, Sean. Yeah. 53 was your first All-Ireland final against Armagh, and Jazz Murphy was the captain who you met the last night at the lunch. What are your memories of 53?
53, I've always called it an epoch-making event. Kerry hadn't appeared in an All-Ireland final since 1946.
Long time.
It was a long time. It was a big hiatus in their history. And I do believe myself that the successes right up to the present moment were initiated by that final victory over Armagh.
Yeah.
It was a time in which Kerry football was at a crossroads. People wondered if they would ever again win an All-Ireland final. So that it took the country's attention, particularly seeing Armagh were one of the first northern teams that made an impact, apart from Antrim in 1946, that made an impact on the GA scene in the All-Ireland series.
What did that win mean to you? What did it mean if your first All-Ireland scene made it? Were you all your boyhood dreams achieved?
Yes. I regard that as one of one of great enjoyment and the fulfillment of an obsession almost in winning that medal.
Yeah, and of course, Dr. Eamon was your trainer.
Dr. Eamon was my first contact with Dr. Eamon, as you've covered that in your book there so beautifully. His training method appealed to me so much that it was an eye-opener for most of the teams who had never had any contact with him. The only person who had contact with him was Jackie Lyon.
Jackie Lyon was there from 46.
He was there from 46.
And the last night at the lunch, we had Mick Finucane was there from 46, and Dan Cavan and Nelly were there from... Dan was 46. Was beautiful. Yes. Listen, thanks to everybody that turned up the last night. There was over 500 people there. Before I go back to Pádraig, 54 then you were beaten by Meath because...
Collective
training was banned, wasn't it?
It was. Eamon
didn't train either in 54. Why?
In 54, because this row over collective training, which meant that the Dublin contingent trained in Dublin.
Oh, yes,
And the Cork contingent trained in Cork, and the Kerry contingent, I presume, trained in
Dublin. Were you very unfit in 54, Sean? It said you were.
We were a team that... really wasn't fit for an All-Ireland set off with, and I don't think we were properly motivated either,
myself.
And this simmering row underneath the surface was very unsettling, I think, for the footballers.
Jackie had been dropped,
and Jackie being the character and his presence in 53, when you think of the 53 full forward liners, Tom Ash, Sean Kelly and Jackie Lyon, that was one hell of a full forward line.
They wouldn't stand in their way.
No, indeed not.
Before I go back to Pádraig, 55 then was the big win, of course. It was Eamon's big win, and it was all your big win because you beat the so-called Dublin machine, didn't
you? That's right, we did. That was, in my opinion, that was, again, a historic event. The whole country, not alone from Dublin, apart from Kerry, had almost... given Dublin victory before they ever togged out in the field.
And you cover all that very spectacularly in the book,
that's
Dr.
Right,
Eamon O'Sullivan.
Dr. Eamon was able to impart that confidence in his footballers and training in Killarney, that you had to be a member of the team really to realise what a momentous occasion it was and the preparation that Dr. Eamon so successfully accomplished.
So 55 meant an awful lot to you. Sean, what were you doing? Were you going to college at this stage?
I was doing medicine at 55. I was doing medicine at 55.
Yes. Of course, you're living in Tralee now. You're settled down a little
tired in living in Tralee, yes. Yeah.
And I know I meet an awful lot of your patients. They always have great things to say about you.
Thank you.
Pádraig, you're living here in Tralee yourself.
Yes, I'm living here in Tralee for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
And... I'm interested in football since I gave up playing.
Yeah.
I'm honorary president of the Gael Club.
Right.
Where and all the Murphys, Seamus, in his time, finished up with the Gael, and he was one of the founder members of the Gael Club. His sons, Cullum and Brown Don and the others, they played their game, Cormac, they played with the Gael for years. Cullum became a Kerry minor, was fullback against Tipperary, whatever year it was, way back. So he passed on the torch from himself on to his family.
Indeed. And I was delighted to meet his wife, Joan, at the lunch the last night with Sean and the whole lot of you.
Yes.
Huge... The importance of families and Kerry football. We're talking about the Murphys now, but as I said, Matt Lean has profiled all the great families. How important is it to profile families?
Yeah, sure. It is a personal honour for the families, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And it's only right and proper that it should be profiled.
Yes, yeah.
And like, as you said, put into a book.
Yeah.
And maybe do a bit better than what I done with my book.
No, you just first class. What you have done there now, just collector's item stuff. You've well done. Come here, before I go back to Sean. 59 All-Ireland final is the only All-Ireland final that's called after a person, isn't it?
Sean Murphy's All-Ireland.
Sean Murphy's final, Sean Murphy All-Ireland. It's the only one, really, Padraig, is it, called after a person?
Well, it's to the best of my knowledge.
The Cup is called after Sam Maguire, but Sam the 59 Maguire. Final is called after Sean Murphy. Why is it called the Sean Murphy final?
Well, he had an outstanding game. I was there, I was at the game.
Yeah?
And he had an outstanding game, I suppose.
When you say outstanding now, how was outstanding? I was there myself, so yeah, I can vote for it.
Well, he was for any ball that he went for, he caught it, any ball he... that came down in lower to him, he went out with his man and beat his man to nearly every one of them, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think there's very few times he was beaten that day.
Padraig, how, yeah?
One thing I forgot to mention, of course, was that my own son, Joe, or Joseph Murphy, won a Junior All-Ireland with Kerry in 1991.
Stuff.
So that was three generations, you know. Grandfather will say he was on the panel, and I was, and then my son Joe. Yeah. So it's a thing that can pass on from generation to generation.
It has been passed on, and no better family than the Murphys to pass it on, and all the rest of the great families. Bridget O'Connor was to be with us tonight, Sean. That great Gael back there from West Kerry.
Right. Her father was one of the 1928. West Kerry League winners. He died 2 years ago, aged 95, I think. Marvellous man, Tom Bat Connor.
Yeah, and she was to be with us.
She was to be here tonight with us, but unfortunately, I want to commiserate with her on the death of her mother last night.
Yes, yeah.
That is the reason she's not here.
Yeah, great lady. She's often on Radio Kerry and Kerry Today, and she's talking about she does great work. She does great work trying to improve the situation for the roads and for all West Kerry back there.
She's a marvellous member of the community.
Yeah.
So, Bridget, we are so sorry to hear of the death of your mother.
Lovely. And so say all of us, and we all of us, and you want to say the same thing, and I know you want to say. By the way, Sean, were you playing in 57 when Watford beat you?
No.
Aha. You came in there very fast. Where were you in 57? By maybe that's why they beat Kerry, because Sean Murphy wasn't there. Where were you in 57?
I was probably doing exams at the time.
Were you surprised when Watford beat Kerry?
I was absolutely... the shock still lingers with me. Yes, I was shocked when I heard it. I was. I found it incredible.
They're going down again next Sunday. Maybe we'll have another shock.
Well, they'll have a full team next Sunday.
Well, I tell you, we'll find out now, because there's a girl there from where she's working the local radio down there, a great year woman, Catherine Power. Catherine, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, Weezy. How are you? Good evening.
Are you enjoying the great Sean Murphy here and his brother Padraig and Huge?
I'm bemused here. I don't particularly remember 1957, but I've heard the stories, you know, and I've heard of the way the RTE commentator of the night had to go away and check the result to make sure it was correct. So.
And how the great John Joshi, he said to them, said to the team in the dressing room, we'll have to wait till darkness before we cross the border back into Kerry.
Well, all I can say is maybe you should prepare yourself for another type of shock, you know, lightning striking twice and all that.
You'd never know. Come here now, how are you fixed up? Is there a big anticipation for the game?
Well, you know that we are a hurling county, as we've spoken about before, Weezy, and there's a feeling here in Waterford, as I've said to you as well, that we're going to win the All-Ireland Senior Hurling this year.
Yeah.
So football, unfortunately, is really the poor relation, which is a bit unfortunate because, as you know, any county team is putting in the same effort, whether it be hurling or football. But I have to say, since the win over Clare, and there was a lot of people who felt that we wouldn't even be able to get over that one, that there has been a nice little buzz building up, and there is plenty of interest in this match. I suppose the fact that it is Kerry, it is television, it is the champions, and that we have you at home once again. I know that we have you at home this time and not once again. I think it's building nicely now, and I'm hoping that, you know, people will really come out and support our team on
Come
Sunday.
Here, that Micah Herdon playing centre-field, he's Kerry roots?
Well, whether he's Kerry roots or not, you're not getting him because we have him and he's a great player. he's having a couple of fantastic games. He's putting a few fantastic games together and he really had a superb game against Clare as well. So whether he's Kerry roots or not, Weezy is going to be irrelevant at Farfield.
Come here, Catherine. You and I and Radio Kerry and you, the Waterford station down there have plans afoot sometime to bring together the members of the 57 Waterford and Kerry teams and do a big programme down there in Waterford. Isn't that right?
That that's absolutely true. And since, especially since we beat Clare, I've been trying to get my background information and get everything. I wasn't around now. We, you must remember, yes, yeah, in 57.
I know. But still, there's a publican down there, and he's very anxious to do, to promote the whole thing. And I know we're going to do it before the year is out.
Ah, that will be fantastic. It'll be something to look forward to. It wouldn't be great if we had another win over you to do it in style.
Yeah, it would. But listen, are you looking forward to, you're doing it live, I presume?
We're covering the match live, yes, of course we are. And I'm very much looking forward to it. You know, we made the point when we were discussing this game in our own programmes before the Clare game, we see that, you know, the Waterford team, okay, one of the weakest teams in the country, no doubt about it. But we were talking about the six forwards that played them last time. Now, they didn't score tremendously when against Clare. Yeah. It was a low-scoring game. They only put together 1-6. But they're six fine footballers, and it was the first time this year that the whole six of them had actually lined out. It was the first time they all played together. Now, those six are going to be out again on Sunday, and if they can click, they won't get the same space, they won't get the same time from a Kerry defence, I know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they might give the Kerry defence something to talk about or something to handle, and that's what we're hoping
Hopefully
for.
Hopefully we'll have a good game anyway, and you can hear it live also on Radio Kerry, and you can hear that live on Radio Kerry. So come here, Catherine, look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Perfect, I will indeed, and let's hope, as you said, that it's a good game and that, you know, I'm sure it'll be a very friendly game. Kerry are going to be the most overwhelming favourites, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we
but
can't...
We're just delighted to be there, and we're delighted to have won a championship match. Remember, it's 19 years since Waterford achieved that before, so things are a little bit on high in the football here, and we're just looking forward to a great occasion.
Yeah, and 50 years ago, we had that great upset, Sean Murphy was talking about it. Catherine, thank you for joining us.
No problem, welcome. You're very welcome, Weezy.
Lovely, Catherine Powell are talking to us on Terrace Talk. Sean, I want to get back now to the 59 final now. It is known as the Sean Murphy final. 55. What about 56 then? Were you playing against what was Cork when Cork beat us in Killarney in the replay?
I was, yes.
Were you playing in the draw in the replay?
I was. We came back from an American tour.
Yeah.
Just in time for the Munster final.
Yeah.
And we had a drawn game in Cork.
That's right.
And with a replay
in Killarney,
and I can still see Niall Fitzgerald getting that pint.
Sorry, yeah. It was
right.
The first time I ever saw Kerry beaten, would you believe that?
Was it?
I was only young at the time.
Yes.
I'd seen him winning in 55,
yes,
but I'd seen him beaten in 56. Yeah. 57 then, Lord of Mercy on Dermot O'Brien, Captain Lowe, to
that's
win it that year. We send our sympathies
right.
to his family, great footballer. And 57 then, Kerry were beaten by, was
Derry.
It Derry? Is that, were you playing that there?
I was,
that's
yes.
The wet day. What are your memories of that?
My memory of that was the display of Timmy O'Sullivan from Castle Lord Island.
Lord of Mercy, yeah.
And I think there were switches made which were unwarranted, and I think they contributed to Kerry losing that game.
Yeah. Jimmy Keever and Mick O'Connell.
Jimmy Keever, that's right. Beautiful footballer, Jimmy Keever. Yeah, classical. Yeah.
Himself and Connell, of course, classic players.
Classic players.
Classical players.
Yes.
Before we talk about 59 then, Sean, you have a kind of a remarkable record. You played minor All-Irelands and junior All-Irelands with your brothers in different alternative years, I think. Is that right?
Yes. I partnered my brother Tomás in the 50 victory, the Kerry Minor victory in 1950. We actually played together. Same thing in 49, Padraig and I played for the Kerry Junior team that won the All-Ireland. And in 1959, my brother Seamus and I, we actually played in the finals. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff, fabulous stuff. Padraig, Tom, your other brother, he played with Kerry too, of course.
Yes, Tom played Kerry Minor
yeah.
in 1950, played with Sean, he played wing back.
Yeah.
And he played Munster Colleges and won the senior medal
yeah.
that year, the year previous. It's, well, no, the year after maybe. And he was a very good footballer, but as I said, he emigrated and he was missing from camp and Kerry for a good many years.
Where is he living now?
He's living in Cork.
Yeah.
He's pretty ill at the moment.
Well, we sent him our best wishes.
Yes.
Was there girls in the family?
There were. I said that I'll be murdered if I don't
tell
mention them.
Tell us who they were.
I had an older sister, Maureen, and then I had Joan, and finally Anne.
Yeah.
So I have three sisters.
Yeah.
A peculiar thing that there were seven of us in the family, three girls and four boys. And all seven went for teaching. because their father and mother were teachers before them. So we knew the route.
And my father died in 1946.
And of course my father died very young.
What age was he, Sean?
He was 48 years old.
47, 48. He was
47,
young.
48. Yeah, and he left my mother with 7 children, the eldest 15 and the youngest 3 months.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And naturally being from Kerry, it was easier to become a teacher than any other.
Well, we were through the ropes.
Yes.
You know. Yeah.
An interesting thing that I would say about Sean and myself, Sean had a very lucky birthday. He was born on the 3rd of January,
yeah.
which made me, even though I was only a year older than him, it made me 2 years older because I was more or less a November birthday.
Because... The minor date from the 1st of January.
I know, the minor date fitted in nicely, yeah.
So he was very looking at that line.
Huge. How long did it take you to write the book?
Well, it is a hard question to answer because I used generally write 2 nights a week.
Yeah.
I'd write Sunday nights and Monday nights.
Yeah.
Because I'd have the house to myself and I could turn off the television and write away. But
we waited a few years?
No, it worked out under 12 months anyway.
Did it, yeah.
Which is very hard to say how long it took.
GAA, the story of camp football, 1890 to 1953. Sean, 59. Why had you a blinder? Why were you a man of the match? Why was it called the Sean Murphy final?
It was one of those unusual days playing football in which the Galway fullbacks seemed to keep kicking the ball right out to my part of the field consistently through the full hour. And obviously that contributed to my getting more than a fair share of the ball. And of course, while you're in possession of a ball during a match, obviously people see that you are playing.
Was it your best game ever, Sean?
I would think it was.
You have no doubt about that?
I wouldn't have any doubt, yes.
1961, Dunne, you were beaten by Down.
That's great.
Yeah.
I had Paddy Doherty playing in me. Paddy Doherty, in my opinion, is one of the best left half forwards who ever played the game.
The game was changing then, Sean, because Down were beginning to move everywhere.
Down were beginning to play possession football, and it was very difficult to mark a man, strictly speaking.
Were you there in 62?
No, I wasn't. I finished in 1961.
Did you finish? What was your last game, Sean?
My last game, was strange enough, was against Offaly in the National League in 1962, I think.
Was it, yeah?
I think it was. And exams and all that sort of thing contributed in the end to...
Huge. Sean was picked on the team of the millennium, one of the best footballers in 100 years, wasn't he?
That's right, yes, he was. We had a celebration in camp for him, in the old school in camp where his father and mother were teaching.
Right.
And there was a good big crowd present. And we had a great night. We enjoyed the whole thing. We mentioned about school days and the rest.
What other Kerry footballers do we know, partly because Sean was on that team of the millennium?
Mike Sheehy.
Nico.
Pat Spillane.
Pat Spillane.
Yeah.
I have a framed picture of that in my parlour, sitting room. And anybody who comes in are naturally attracted to that picture. And the same picture is hanging in my own club, the Gael. At the end, were you ever in the Gael?
Oh, I was indeed, of course,
well,
I was,
The framed picture is hanging at the Gable end, and everybody looks
And he
looks
was also picked in the team of the
he
century.
Was picked on both of them. And very few were picked on both.
On both of them, yeah. Sean, what did it mean to you to be chosen on team of the millennium, team of the century? Did it mean a lot?
Well, it did, in the sense that it seemed to remind me particularly of my own footballing career.
Yeah.
It seems to have created an impression of 15 footballers that for some reason or other had some attributes to get chosen in their particular
places on the teams.
Come here, this is the first time you came into the Tralee Studios to do an interview. You don't give any interviews. I must say that I'm honored to have you and your brothers and Eugene here. You seldom give interviews. Why?
Yes,
are you a shy man?
Well, I was always scared of my memory to start off with. Yeah. And the other thing was that over the years, I haven't been interviewed. I've been asked, and I have shied away from it for that reason, that I thought that people would make it difficult to recall and to talk about games that are now 50, 40, 45 years ago.
Huge, there's nothing wrong with his memory.
Well, he is good, yeah.
I'll tell you the farthest back memory I have of Sean, and that was of his first real good kick.
Right.
And he got a ball for Christmas, as a Christmas present.
Yeah.
And, of course, we went to our uncle's house, which was only a few hundred yards away, and Sean was delighted to be showing the ball, and my uncle stood at the bottom of the large kitchen just in front of the dresser, and Sean had a few miskicks with the ball, but in the end, he really connected, and it went through my uncle's hands and broke plates and jugs and lustreware.
Sean, we've only 3 minutes left. Give me and pick out a number between 1 and 37, because I'm going to pick a winner out of that.
35,
23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35 is Jimmy Flannery from Dingle. Jimmy Flannery, my friend, you've won the Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan book. I'll be signing you specially for you. We're going to the comment line now very, very quick, because Dr. Paddy Fuller, we've just 60 seconds. Paddy, you're very welcome to the programme, my friend.
Wishy.
How are you?
I was the first man, I think, to congratulate you on your great commentaries. Was I or was
you
I not?
You were indeed, my friend. You were indeed.
I think I was one of the very early ones who did it.
You were indeed.
And I still do so. But now I congratulate you on a wonderful book.
Lovely.
It is absolutely beautiful.
Paddy, I appreciate...
There is no man more deserving of it than the man whose autobiography you so brilliantly got together.
Lovely, Paddy. Well done. I appreciate
and
that.
This is... But Dr. Sean Murphy knows me well as... Because...
Yeah?
In 53, I looked after the lads' injuries, and indeed for 4 years before that, all of the Kerry teams that were trained under Dr. Eamon here and all of those, I helped them in every way I could. At any rate...
Lovely, Paddy, to hear from you. Sorry we didn't get you soon.
But anyhow,
I
shall not keep you any longer except to congratulate you.
Definitely.
And your book is lovely, and it is... And Dr. Eamon, you have really given the greatest man that ever...
Lovely, well said. Well said,
real
Paddy.
Fresh air for the GAA in Ireland.
Thank you, Paddy. Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. Next Sunday, next Wednesday, I'll be in conversation about the Ring of Kerry. I'll be in Easons from 12 o'clock on signing my book, Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan, Man Before His Time, next Saturday. Drop into me there next Saturday. You, Owen, thank you for joining us.
You're
Padraig,
welcome.
Just to me, it was absolutely great having you. Sean, there's nothing wrong with your memory. Well done. You're a great family. It was lovely to have you in, Padraig.
Well, we were delighted to be here.
Lovely.
Delighted to be here.
It was lovely. Sean, it was great to have you again, my friend.
Thank you, Rishi.
We've struck up
pleasure.
A good old relationship over the last few years.
Certainly have.
We have indeed.
Thank you.
We have, and thank you too. Oh, listen, well done on your book on GAA, The Story of Camp Football 1890-1953. It is a collector's item.